you God this morning, knowing that He is more worthy of it. Whatever constitutes your all today, why don't you offer it to Him? In whatever way it looks, that's fine. He's worthy of it. God, I give you everything. You've given me everything, so I give it back in the form of my praise and my worship. Oh, why don't we fill this place with the shout of His praises? We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. We've got time for this, and He's worthy of all the time we would give. I praise you. I praise you. I praise that holy name of Jesus. I worship that holy name. Pastor referenced funeral director yesterday. He told me and Jared, he said, from a different denomination, he said, every time I come in this place, now mind you, he comes here for funerals, but still, where the presence of God resides, and those that were here yesterday know full well the glory of God that was here and it's here now. He said, every time I come in this place, it just feels good, he said. I feel something different here. What he felt is what we're feeling right now. And oh God, help me not to take it for granted what we're feeling. I think we owe him another praise right now. Oh, we owe him worship. We thank you, Jesus, what we've got. We thank you for this glory and power that we feel. We honor you today and glorify you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus.
My special treasure. I cover you as with a blanket when the cold winds of trouble and trial blow against your soul, because I love you with a warmth that will sustain you and keep you alive. I lift you up on high, if I need to do that, to a rock that is higher than you can get to by yourself. But that height is also too high for any enemy to climb its ridges and make its way to where I have you, my special treasure. And then I surround you with my blood. It's as though I put a line around you. And it's like that fence that the enemy cannot penetrate. Why? Because you are my special treasure. You are not forgotten. You are protected. You are loved. You are provided for. And wait in patience, because what you need is on its way, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Why don't we respond right now to that word? Someone who needs God to wrap you up, why don't you get in His presence right now and let Him wrap you up this morning? Oh God, we need you to take us to that place of safety. We thank you for your word and your assurance today. We honor you today. You're able to do it, Lord. Someone who is down in the pit of their life, you're able to pick them up today. Oh, I said that I'm all you're okay. This is an opportunity right here before we go any further for someone to receive strength and someone to be refreshed and someone to get in God's glory maybe for the first time in a little while, and let Him pick you up and let Him restore you and let Him restore your strength and your faith. Oh God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Oh God. Jesus. There's no telling what storms have eclipsed your life over the last 5 to 6 months in particular, but maybe even the last week or two. I believe God has showed up today. He's going to speak to us and He's going to help us. And God's just revealing His plan today. And He's revealing His word. He's just kind of set us up for what He wants to do for the remainder of this service. Got some remarks about Youth Week that I'll hold to the end. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 11. We'll start at verse 1. I typically take this Sunday to present our theme, but I just felt a direct word for this church in this season. I'm going to read from Psalm 11, New Living Translation. It says, I trust in the Lord for protection. I could stop and preach that right there. But I'll continue on. So why? You say to me, fly like a bird to the mountains. The wicked are stringing their bows. They're fitting their arrows on the bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows. Those whose hearts are right. The foundations of law and order, they've collapsed. He's saying chaos is everywhere. Everything around him is just collapsing. Disorders all around. What can the righteous do? And he follows it up by saying, but the Lord is in his holy temple. And the Lord still rules from heaven. The Lord is in his temple today. And the Lord still rules. Someone get a hold of that this morning. He still rules despite it all. Even in chaos. Even while chaos abounds and law and order is collapsing, the Lord is still in control. Even in the presence of chaos and its many implications, the Lord is still on His throne today, and Jesus Christ is still the man in charge. I've just come to remind someone this morning that the presence of chaos in your life does not equate to the absence of God in your life. But I've come to tell you, Jesus is still in control today, no matter what you're looking at and what you're facing. I've come to preach to you from this title, Controlled Chaos. And I want you to pray with me right now. God is moving not just in this room, but He's moving over the internet. He's moving into someone's home and into someone's life. I need you to pray beyond yourself that God would help us. Lord, we thank you for your word that we've already heard. We thank you, Jesus, what you're doing. We feel the presence of God and the glory of God moving through this place. And today, we need to hear your word. Someone, Lord, that is battling chaos in their life needs to know that you're in control. Someone that's battling a storm needs to know that you're in the boat. We pray in the name of Jesus for your help today and the power of your word to get a hold of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we thank Him before we're seated? We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We could do this 100 times more today and you'd still be worthy of it. Oh, we thank you for your help, your peace, and your strength that's already here. Jesus' name, you may be seated this morning. More than likely, we have all found ourselves in the midst of what could be described as utter chaos or a situation that it could be called chaotic. Seemingly more and more chaos seems to rule the day, both on a grand scale and on an individual level. Chaos seems to abound. It surfaces just about anywhere. It surfaces in cultural settings, in societal settings, in government settings, even in local family settings. It permeates even the most mundane backdrops or situations. I'll give you an example. Chaos can even surface in a setting as simple as a church nursery or a toddler class. Some of you that incredible teachers, you know exactly what I'm talking about today. And on that note, I will take this moment to thank all of our church nursery workers and those who work with our toddlers on a regular basis. You are our heroes, and you of all people know what the word chaos means. Found this out firsthand at our family Christmas out on the farm this last year. It was one of the rare occasions when all the grandchildren, all the great-grandchildren were together, and it was nothing short of chaos. It was chaos defined. 9 children under the age of 5 in a metal shed with concrete floors. It felt louder than the Super Bowl at Arrowhead Stadium. You could not hear a thing. This one wants that toy, and that toy belongs to the other one. One is crying, one is laughing, one is screaming, one just got hurt, and one's just plain mad. We had chaos on our hands. My siblings in the DeLong box seat over there can attest to it. They have chaos every Sunday back there. I have a newfound respect for anyone found working at a daycare. But I noticed several things about chaos in this setting, situated on the back hills of Osage County, Missouri. I noticed that chaos in all its forms and all its fixtures typically involves several distinct characteristics. These were all present that day on the farm. It was noisy. In fact, at some points, all you could hear was the noise coming from these small human beings. I don't know how they create so much noise. You could barely hear anyone else around you. Confusion followed. With all the noise, no clear direction could be heard from the adults or those leading the family gathering. We were all disoriented by the noise and the lack of clarity. Then distractions were also thrown into the mix. It's tough to focus while your toddler is hitting her cousin in the head with a toy car or your nephew's climbing on top of the table. And they know which nephew I'm talking about. Love you, Titus. All the noise mixed with the disorientation, the lack of focus on any one person or any one voice caused endless distractions and confusion. With this mixed bag of the characteristics of chaos thrown together, it's no wonder why one would be confused or just outright stupefied. You almost forgot why you were there in the first place because of the abundance of noise and chaos. It was easy to get sidetracked and caught up with any number of entanglements other than the original reason for being there in the first place. Some of you are picking up what I'm trying to lay down this morning, that chaos, whether amongst a group of toddlers or on the world stage, has a way of causing you to take your eye off the target, to get your ear off the right voice or voices, and to get your mind off your purpose and onto other distractions. Chaos, by its very definition, is complete disorder and confusion. Where there was once clarity, unity, and solidarity, chaos robs us of those things and replaces them with mayhem, division, and turmoil. Does any of this sound familiar just yet? I think it does, and I would contend the majority here today would agree. In fact, chaos could just be the defining word of the year of 2020. With its unprecedented pandemic, social unrest, political divisiveness, you add to that the quote, smaller stuff, like murder hornets and hurricanes, inland hurricanes. I didn't even know those existed. Economic instability. It becomes apparent we are walking through the definition of chaos. Not to mention the personal pandemonium that many have endured, which has kind of fallen by the wayside in the wake of COVID-19 and all these other world stage events. I'm talking about things like sickness, financial stress, self-quarantine, poor mental health, virtual schooling, and all the things that come with it. Any number of other regular life events that have been compounded by our current set of circumstances. And with all that in mind, I think it's safe to say none of us really needed the Merriam-Webster definition of chaos this morning. We're walking through it. We are living through it. Whether by virtue of the universal chaos of 2020 or a personal storm and struggle in your life, you're getting your fair share of pandemonium of late, and you're staring down a storm that seems to have every bit of potential it needs to sink your life and the lives around you. I'm certainly not the only one to feel overwhelmed by it at times and wondering what's the outcome of this and what in my life is going to be displaced by this storm. I'm not alone in saying there's confusion out there. There's bewilderment. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of disorientation. There's an unprecedented need for clarity and for a voice of reason to tell us what all this means and how we fit in the middle of. There is need for a voice of reason, a voice of authority to cut through all the chaos and provide clarity and provide direction. And this morning, I'm thankful to say that I believe I've come with a voice today, one that is far greater than my own, and one one that is echoed on the pages of Scripture. I've come to tell someone staring down a hurricane in your life that there is an answer and there is an antidote to the chaos that seems to overcome you. I've come to tell you there is one to whom belongs all the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty, for all that in heaven and earth is His. His is the kingdom, and He is exalted as head over all. David continues, both riches and honor come from Him. He reigns over all. I could quote that again and again and again until someone gets it. He reigns over all. All of it. Even in chaos, when foundations of law and order have collapsed, the writer David reminds us, but the Lord is in His temple. The Lord is in His temple. It doesn't have to be this one. It could just be your personal temple at home. The Lord's still there. He hadn't gone anywhere. And not only that, but the Lord still rules from heaven. Even in the middle of chaos, the Lord is still on the throne. He's still in control. Even in a season of pandemonium, the great I Am is still great. And the ruler of heaven's armies still reigns. Even with all the confusion, the uncertainty, the bewilderment, the Alpha is still the Omega. And He is everything we need in between. Amen. I haven't come to discount the chaos you face this morning. I haven't come to belittle the storm in which you find yourself. But you better believe I have come to exalt Jesus above every last storm, above every last shred of chaos in your life. I haven't come to diminish sickness, a storm, or a trial. I just come to help someone get their eyes off the chaos and get their eyes back on the one who controls the chaos. I haven't come to trivialize your chaos. I've just come to lift your faith this morning because He controls it. You may be in the storm of your life right now, along with the rest of what 2020 has unleashed, but you are not out of the boat and you are not out of His hand. Someone hear me. Jesus Christ has never not been in control. He's never not been in control. Doesn't matter what your current set of circumstances would try to tell you. He's still on the throne. Someone posted this the other day. I loved it. It said, God has not fallen off His throne in heaven. He is sitting squarely on it. 2020 did not take Him for a loop. Chaos has not dealt Him the trump card. He has always been in control. Even when He was seemingly asleep in the boat in Mark chapter 4. He still had chaos under wraps. Verse 37 says, a great windstorm arose. The waves beat into the boat. It was already filling. But He was in the stern asleep on a pillow. They woke Him, said to Him, teacher, don't you care? We're perishing. And He arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said to them, why are you so fearful? Can I ask that to someone today honestly? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you don't have faith? And they feared exceedingly, said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Even chaos is at His command. Chaos is at His beck and call. Even the storm and the overwhelming nature of the squall have to cease when He speaks and when He commands. Now you notice, that storm had every bit of potential to overcome them and destroy them. Verse 37 says, it was filling the boat. The concern, the chaos was real. It wasn't overblown. It wasn't overdramatized. This was life or death. It was as serious as it could get, even to those experienced sailors. But even more real and more compelling than the chaos that they were in was the identity of the man who was in the boat with them that day. You see, this man, Jesus Christ, He was not fazed by their chaos and their predicament. He was not uncomfortable with their chaos and even their dysfunction. He wasn't out of sorts and wiping His eyes and, why in the world am I soaking wet? What is going on here? No. He stands up, and even in his supposed slumber, with the waves crashing the water, filling the boat. Even then, he was in someone in your life has got water filling your boat. And you got a bucket and you're trying to figure out, how in the world am I going to make it? How am I not going to sink here? And Jesus, I'm just here to remind you, he is still in the boat with you. Just because there's water filling it doesn't mean he's not there, and doesn't mean he's not in control. Even in the worst of the worst, life and death in the balance, Jesus reveals his identity, and chaos is forced to bow and relent in the very moment. And I mean the moment he opens his mouth. Do you realize this morning the sheer greatness of this God? And at his command, your storm could be gone in a second. Do you realize? In one moment, he can erase every last COVID-19 cell in existence before we go to lunch. God could erase every cancerous cell if he wanted to. He is in control. He could change the landscape of your life in a moment. One thought, one command. Do you realize how great this God is? This God who is trying to get someone's attention this morning long enough to remind them he is still on the throne. I can just hear him cutting through all the noise. There's a lot of noise right now. We just need to listen and hear for his voice. He's cutting through the noise to remind someone he still sits on the circle of the earth. He still controls the cosmos. He rolled out the heavens in the beginning, and he put us on the very map he created. Set the boundaries of the waves. Wouldn't allow them to go any further. And he's not just in control of the big details, the minutia, mundane. How many hairs are on your head, Brother Dormer? He knows it. Amount of breath in your lungs, he knows it. He sees every waking moment of your life. He sees your chaos-filled evenings. Hears every time you whisper a prayer, every time you utter his name. This is the God who just spoke to us a moment ago, saying, I'm going to wrap you up today, and I'm going to put you in a place where chaos can't get to you, and chaos can't destroy you. This is the same God who's in this room, who I believe is just stepping into the bow of someone's life and reminding you, I am still in control. I am still in control. I'm still on the throne today. He himself said, I am the Lord. There is no other. No God beside me. I will gird you though you have not known me. That they may know from the rising of the sun till its setting, there is none beside me. I'm the Lord. There is no other. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. He's the same one who said, be still, child of God, and know I'm God. And in the end, I'm going to be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. And for this reason, Isaiah 40 tells us to exalt him. It says, look up into the heavens. Ask yourself, who created all those stars? He brings them out like an army. I love this. One after the other, calling each by its name. Not one of them is missing because of his great power and incomparable strength. Oh, Jacob. Let me just insert, oh, people of God, how can you say the Lord doesn't see your troubles? Every last star. How can you say he ignores your rights? Have you not heard? Have you not understood the Lord is everlasting? He's the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never goes weak. He never goes weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. So you may find yourself in the middle of pandemonium this morning, surrounded by a hurricane of uncertainty. Maybe in your family, personal life, or just your world in general. You may be facing an undisputable storm, the type that has every bit of potential to destroy you and overwhelm you. I can see today you may be facing chaos, but I can assure you in every way possible, you are facing controlled chaos. It's controlled by the Almighty One, the great I Am. Controlled by the same God who revealed his glory and his power to Job near the end of the book, revealing or bearing his name. Job, like many maybe here today or watching, he's in the middle of trying to find out, why in the world am I in the middle of all this chaos? God visits him in a whirlwind to remind him of his sovereignty and his dominion. I'm not a whirlwind today. I might be close, but I'm not a whirlwind. But I hope it has the same effect. God's reminding someone he's in control. Uses this analogy in Job chapter 41. Points to his ultimate control and authority even over chaos. He asked Job, he said, can you draw out Leviathan, great sea creature, with a hook? Can you snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him like a bird? Will you leash him for your maidens? Verse 10, no one is so fierce they would dare stir Leviathan up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. What is interesting to note is, especially in that day and time, Leviathan was a symbol of multiple things to those people. Whether or not it was a real creature is beyond me. But it did symbolize, among other things, Leviathan, the enemies of God, and even chaos itself. I remember one of our professors at Urshan, he broke this passage down using these symbols. I'll never forget the wording he used. He said, essentially what God is saying here is, not only does he control chaos and even his enemies, he has them on a bridle and on a leash. Let's go this way. Let's go that way. Let's go this way. Effectively, God is telling Job, think of the worst entity, force of nature, or calamity that could come against you. And then let me remind you, I put a hook in its mouth. I have your chaos and your enemy on a leash. And even chaos ultimately serves me. At the end of the day, chaos is on God's leash. He not only controls it, but he will use it for his purpose and his plan. I think that just kind of takes all the guesswork and all the doubt and all the fear out of things. He's not just in control of the storm. He's got it on a leash, and he will use it for his purpose, his glory, and his betterment. So it's not just controlled chaos. It's employed chaos. It is managed chaos. And even the chaos that God didn't unleash, or if God didn't create it, he can still use it. You see, many times chaos comes as a direct result of sin, a direct result of darkness in our lives or our world. But even to the nth degree, God can control it, and he can still use it. Whether it's Satan attempting to ruin Job's life or sickness that's come in your body, God is still in control. And he can and he will fulfill his word that all things will work together for good to those that love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Maybe his purpose and my purpose don't always line up, but I'm going to yield to his purpose, knowing that God is still in control. He still controls and uses chaos for his purpose. And among other things, Job's life and story is evidence of that truth, as well as the last story I want to note today, that of the life of the Apostle Paul, his shipwreck on the island of Malta. Many of you already know things didn't go according to plan for Paul. His journey took a turn for the worst. Even the men, the experienced sailors on the boat, were afraid. Chaos of a northeaster storm surfaced in his life. Over 2 weeks, they feared for their lives in the face of these gale force winds, typhoon-like weather, until they shipwrecked on a small island in the Mediterranean. What was remarkable was that none of the sailors or the prisoners perished. And they all found themselves among a people eager and ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. The point is, you never know where your confrontation with chaos will take you. It could be today your chaos and your storm will land you right in the middle of God's will and right in the middle of the purpose for your life. Your chaos could be the answer to someone else's prayer and cry for help. It could be a nurse or a doctor praying, God, I need you to send me someone. And you don't realize it, but your chaos and your sickness lands you right in their office. The chaos of your morning one day land you in a place, maybe an auto shop. There's been a man or a woman desperate for change in their life. God is in control. At the end of the day, he controls it. Your chaos in God's hands could produce something eternal and something miraculous. And let me assure you again today, it is in God's hands. Paul himself was not out of God's sight. Acts 27, 22 says that Paul, in the midst of the storm, stood in front of those other sailors. He said, I urge you, take heart. Someone hear it. I urge you, take heart today. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Well, that's real comforting. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong, and whom I serve. Let me pause and remind you to whom you belong today. Child of God. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God." I believe God. I either believe him or I don't. And I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. I trust in God who's letting someone know today I am still in control. Not only that, but I reference this story in particular among all the other stories to remind you, God is not the only one in the boat with you today. But I believe he sent me to tell someone there are angels riding the storm with you. You may not have known it. Those chaos-filled evenings, those storm-ridden days. But an angel stood by you every day. You are not alone in your chaos. You're not alone in your storm. But I felt the presence of God this week, and along with it, I have felt the very specific presence of angels this week, which is just another indication that God is in control. You're not alone. In fact, I told someone this week, I sent them a text, walking through probably the trial of their life. I said, "I went to pray for you today." Very clearly as I prayed, I feel like the Lord showed me. I could see the room where they were. His angel standing there at attention. I could barely get that text out, Pastor, as in my office, when the glory of God flooded that place like it is here. I had to close my door and just respond. I'm trying to help someone today get your eyes off that chaos. Get it back on him. That there are supernatural things around you you don't see. And God has not left your life to chance. But he reigns over all. And he's still on the throne. This is the moment. I wonder if you just stand right now and begin to exalt God over your storm. We're going to start this with praise. Because praise takes a little faith. And we want elevated faith. Oh, someone lift a praise right now. Begin to exalt your God over your storm, over your chaos. He's worthy of it, I can assure you. Wasted praise. This is not wasted exaltation, but there's an infusion of faith happening as you praise God, staring down a storm. There is faith rising in the room. I believe God's responding right now. God's wrapping someone up right now. Heard of several of them, but without a doubt, there are people in this room and watching that are facing chaos in their life and our church family. If you're still praising God, don't let me stop you. I wonder if you're staring down some chaos that's overwhelming you, or a storm that you're facing. If you just be so bold and say, "You know what, I could use the prayers of my church and the strength of the glory of God." Would you just raise your hand right now if you need those prayers? Church, we're going to hover here as long as God wants us to. I wonder if you just look around right now and get a hold of some names and begin to pray like the body and lift up these individuals. Here's some others. I'll just yell them out as you're praying. The Roger Casmus family. The Betty Wayne family. Sandy Brady and Sandy Bartell. Sister Catherine Gibson today. Sharp family today, Lord. You are in control. We give it. stay here and pray, church. Let's lift our voices on behalf of one another. In the name of Jesus, we speak to chaos. We speak to storms in your name and tell them to be still. Oh, Jesus, we speak into the chaos of sickness and financial stress. We speak in every form of chaos, and we speak the word of peace over your church and over your body and your family. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lastly, I'd like us to pray for our world, our city. It seems like it's an unprecedented amount of chaos. Sometimes it feels like, man, is the church going to get swallowed up in this? But I believe we were positioned in this time and hour to counter chaos and to speak with the authority of God. I want you to help me speak to chaos and pray against it and pray the peace of God in our city, in our country, in our world. Would you just go to intercessory prayer right now and insert that name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we're believing, Lord, as a church. We're believing as a family. We're believing as a body of intercessors. We believe for peace in our city, peace in our community, peace in our nation, peace in our world, and every force of chaos, every force of darkness, Lord, every force of division. We speak and stand against them in the name of Jesus. And we speak a word of peace. We speak unity, Lord. We speak clarity into our world, God, into our city and our government. We need the peace and the strength of God. We need righteousness to prevail. These prayers are not wasted, Lord, but you hear these prayers, and the controller of chaos is going to move, and he's going to use chaos to his benefit and for his glory. We believe for peace in our land, in our region, in the name of Jesus. Would you once again give him glory and honor and praise right now? Oh, would you start to exalt him again and glorify him? We love you, Jesus. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. I was reflecting this week. So over 2 years ago, God started dealing with me about this title and message in particular. I had no idea the circumstances in which I'd get to preach it, but he knew. And he controls it. I feel the lingering of the glory of God here. So thankful for his presence. We're going to have a lot of the same this week. Youth Week is a special time here at APC. Our students prayed last Wednesday night, had a our Youth Week prayer time. I walked in the room a little late. I told them as soon as I did, it was like a wall of the glory of God. These students are believing, have faith. They've been praying. They've already been fasting this week. We're hearing and heeding the voice of God. Our theme this year is back to the basics. God's just bringing us back to the same things that grew the church in the beginning, the same things that will sustain and grow us now. I invite you to please pray.